Okay, this is lesson two of computer vision. It deals with what we call connectivity analysis, and it requires some amount of definitions, of formal definitions, to really grasp what we mean by that. So this is the first thing I will do. I will formally define what we mean so that we can do this appropriately. And then connectivity analysis is rather complex, conceptually, I would say. So for that reason, the first thing I will do is give you two very simple algorithms, which I think allow to understand better what we mean by connectivity or how this can go on. And then I will explain the real connectivity algorithm that we have to implement in the lab. So these are the simple ones that we don't use because they're not very efficient, but they help to understand what this is about. And in the second hour, I will explain the efficient but a bit more complex connectivity analysis that we actually carry out. So to start with the idea of connectivity, this is the process of taking a binary image that we already obtained because we thresholded the gray level image that we had, and process it in this way. So the goal is that I identify separate objects in the image, I separate them from each other, I separate them from the background, and I identify whether the object has holes or not. And then also, and this is not central to it, but also something that we want to do here is detect and correct noise in the image. So in this example, this would be the large object that we're looking for. It seems to have some large holes, but there's also small white holes and small black objects, which we call salt and pepper noise. So part of the goal is also to ignore or correct that noise in the image, as part of the process that we want to carry out. And conceptually, initially one might think that this idea is very simple. So you might think that connectivity is basically taking a binary image like this one and then labeling each group of pixels that might correspond to a different object with a different number or color, as you can see in this labeled image. So in cases like this, it's clear that this would be one object, this another one, the third and the fourth. The process that we want to do is equivalent in some way to assigning a different gray level to each of the objects in the image. Okay? So this is not formally connectivity, but it's something similar, which is called labeling. And if I do that, I take a binary image as input, generate a labeled image as output. There is no savings of space whatsoever because I'm just generating another image. And formally, there is no improvement semantically. I don't know anything more except if I realize that, if I'm aware that different groups of pixels have different gray levels because they belong to a different object, to a separate object each. So this is more or less the idea of what we want to do. And if you try to analyze the labeling problem in a more complex image like this one, then you bump into problems. In this case, how many objects would I have to label in this image? How many objects do you see? One big object? Okay. How about you? Could it be two? Which two? This is the big one? This one is a separate object, and this one is another object? The small one here, you mean? But the objects are black, and the background is white. Okay? it's clear that this deciding if this is one object or two or four depends on whether you think that this connection is allowed for the same object. Okay? You could say this is just one object, but if I say that objects that have, or pixels that are connected in this way, diagonally, do not belong to the same object, then I would have four different objects. Actually, one, two, three, and four. Okay, so this ambiguity has to be solved formally. We have to use some definition of what connectivity means, and then try to see if we, with that formalization, can be consistent in connectivity analysis. So these are several ways in which you can define connectivity in digital image processing. This is what's called four connectivity, this is eight, and this is six. And basically this means I'm always analyzing the pixel in the center, here x0 and the, or x0, and four connectivity says, if I'm analyzing this pixel, only pixels up, down, left, or right from that pixel are neighbors or belong to the same object, if you want. If you use eight connectivity, then that would mean that also the pixels in the diagonal, in the diagonals, belong to the same object. And if I use six connectivity, which can be this way or that way, then that means only pixels in this direction belong to the same object. Only the pixels in the diagonal in this direction also belong to the same object. So let's assume that I'm using four connectivity. How many objects would I have in that image if I'm considering four connectivity for black pixels? Four? Because when I'm trying to decide whether these two are of the same object, if I'm analyzing this one, it's not the top one, it's not the left one, it's the diagonal one. Okay? And if I use eight connectivity? Only one. And if I use six connectivity like this? So these two would be the same object, and these two would be another different object. So it could be one, four, or two, depending on the definition of connectivity that I use. Okay? So in this first hour, we would explore with some detail whether just deciding some definition of connectivity is enough to actually be able to perform connectivity analysis properly. This is one first problem. In the last image, we were only considering the foreground, the black pixels. So what happens with the background? Should we consider also connectivity for the background? Should it be the same connectivity than the foreground? There's an important formal issue here, which is it's a concept that comes from Euclidean geometry that says, basically, this is a definition of what is a Jordan curve. A Jordan curve is a curve which is a closed curve, and Euclidean geometry says a closed curve must fully contain a region that is isolated from the outer region. Okay? So, in this simple example, if I consider this a curve, then this curve divides the space into two separate regions, and this one divides the space into these two separate regions. So these three curves basically divide should divide the space in or the area or the plane into these three separate regions. Okay, if I'm assuming that this is a curve, then what type of connectivity am I using? If this is supposed to be one continuous curve. It's eight connectivity. Okay, so let's assume that I use eight connectivity also for the background. Are these two areas separate if the background is also analyzed with eight connectivity? These two. Are pixels from the region A and region C touching according to eight connectivity? So they should belong to the same region. But I'm saying that if this is a curve, it should separate the plane into two separate regions. Okay? This is what happens also in this big, simpler but larger example. If this is supposed to be a closed curve, then I would be using 8 connectivity. Then that means that this should be a separate region from the outer region. That's why geometry calls a Jordan curve. If I use 8 connectivity also for the background, then this pixel would connect with this one. And then it would not be true that this is completely isolated from the rest of the plane. Okay? In the example before, if I used 4 connectivity, there would be 4 objects, as we said. Let's take a look again at transparency 3. If I used 4 connectivity for the foreground, the planes, then I would have 4 different objects and how many holes? If the background is also 4 connected. This would clearly be a hole in any case. And what about this? Is this a region completely separated from the background or not? So this would be a hole, but it's not completely inside an object, because these are 4 separate objects. It's a separate region, but it's not completely isolated by a Jordan curve, because there is no curve here if I use 4 connectivity. Okay? So this is a contradiction. If I use then 8 connectivity, then I would have, as we said before, 1 object. This is still clearly a hole. And is this a hole inside the object, the only object that I have? You think so? You were saying yes. No, again, if I use 8 connectivity, this one would be connected with this one, the white pixels. So they would belong to only one region. So this hole would not be inside the only object that I have. So we can't, for geometric consistency, we can't allow this to happen. So let's investigate further to see how we can solve this contradiction. And we will do that formalizing on all the definitions that I've been using. Here's a sequence of definitions. The first one is what I usually call, have been calling the foreground, is the set of 1 pixels, or the set of black pixels in my examples always, or the set of pixels that belong to objects. That set is usually referred to as S, or more normally foreground. A path from 1 pixel 0 to another pixel N is a sequence of pixels such that in the sequence the first one and the second are neighbors, the second and the third are neighbors, the third and the fourth are neighbors, according to the definition of connectivity that I have. So this would be there would be a path from here to here in this 4 connected path, and there would be a path from here to here if I'm using 8 connectivity for the foreground, but not if I'm using 4 connectivity for the 8 connect. It would be 8 connected, but not 4 connected. Okay, so there would be a path from here to here only if I'm considering 8 connectivity. In general, two pixels belonging to the foreground, P and Q, are connected if there's a path from one to another. Where do I want to go with all these definitions? I want to formally define isolate all the pixels that might belong to us to the same object. They will be the set of all connected pixels. Okay? So connectivity between two pixels is given if there's a path from one to the other. This is an equivalence relation in mathematics. That means that it allows, it obeys these three laws. First, reflexivity means P is connected to P. Symmetry says that if P is connected to Q, then Q is connected to P. And transitivity means that if P is connected to Q and Q to R, then P is connected to R. Okay? What is the important property that an equivalence relation imposes into a set? So if you have, in this case, if you have a lot of pixels and there's an equivalence relation that you can define among the pixels. What happens with the set? What does the equivalence relation do to the set? Not only, no, maybe not
like
one.
As a whole, forgetting how many
but,
items.
But not all, I'm talking about pixels in all of the image, not only one object. So if you have a binary image and you have pixels that some are connected among themselves and others are connected with others, according to this relation, what does the relation do to the set of pixels? It partitions the set of pixels into, as you said before, groups that can be considered as one. So the important fact of this relation is that it formally allows us to separate groups of pixels that we think might belong to different objects. So that's why we are interested in all this mathematical formalization. Okay, I think there's this is the moment to go back to the example that we were doing before. So according to this relation, all connected components or blobs in the image are going to, are defined as a set of mutually connected pixels. This is the partition of the set according to the relation. And we hope, as I said, that each connected component is going to belong to a different object. Then the background is going to be the set of connected components of the white pixels that contain pixels in the image limit. Okay? So all of this would be the background, okay, because it's the blob of white pixels that has pixels in the limit of the image. And I want to distinguish that from the holes, which are also connected components of white pixels. But the difference is that, for example, this hole has no pixel that touches the limit of the image. So that's the fundamental difference between the background and the holes. Okay? So let's go back to the original problem. I said before, if we consider four connectivity for the foreground, then we will have four objects. And four connectivity for the background, then we will have two holes, which is not geometrically consistent. If I use eight connectivity for the foreground, one hole, eight connectivity for the background, one only background, which is not consistent. So what can I do? Yep. According to this definition, it's considered background because it has pixels that touch. You would actually, the reason is you wouldn't know that it's a hole. How do you know that? Suppose it's the letter U touching the border of the image. Would it be a hole? If it's a letter U, it wouldn't be. So if you don't see the object completely, you can't say that it's a hole inside the object. That's why it would be considered part of the background. Okay, so I was saying that if I consider four connectivity for both or eight for both, that doesn't work. So what can I do? What's the next thing to try?
Supplementary connectivities.
So
four for one
and eight for the other one and the other way around? Okay, so let's say I use four connectivity for the foreground. So we said how many objects we would have? Four. And if I use eight connectivity for the background, how many holes would I have? If I use eight connectivity, I would have one hole. Okay? There would be four objects, as we said, one hole, and this would be part of the background because it touches, because it has eight connectivity. Okay? So in this case, I will have four objects because of four connectivity and one hole because of eight connectivity. Is that consistent? Is that what we want? The only hole would be this one. Okay? This would not be a hole because these are four objects. They shouldn't enclose a hole, but this is not a hole because it's connected to the background. So is that what we want? Okay. What if we do it the other way around? 8 connectivity, 4 objects. We would have only one object. And 4 connectivity for the background. How many holes would we have? You look puzzled.
I think 2.
Okay, the small one and then this big one? Okay, is that what we want? So if it's only one object, should it have 2 holes? Is that what we want? Is that correct?
Yes, I think so.
It is correct, yes. If it's only one object, then it should have 2 holes. Okay, so which one is better? So we can do it this way around or the other way around. We can use either alternative. Yes? Were you going to ask a question?
No.
Okay. Thinking with your hand raised? Sure.
It's not that 8 connectivity per object and 4 connectivity background is the best option.
It's not that, no, I'm saying that you can choose either one because it will assure geometric consistency. Which one you choose depend on the type of object that you analyze. If the objects are elongated, then you better use 8 connectivity for the object. Otherwise, they will be broken down. But you have to then use 4 connectivity for the background. Okay, so you can choose either combination, but always this way. Okay? And what about 6 connectivity? Could I consider 6 connectivity for the foreground and then 4 for the background? Or 6 connectivity for both? I'll leave that as an exercise. Okay, that seems to solve our former problems. So let me end up with some additional definitions. Interesting purposes, I might need to use or to detect what's called the boundary. The boundary of an object, it is the set of pixels in the foreground that have neighbors in the background. Okay? So if this is my object, and I'm considering, in this case, 4 connectivity. This pixel has a neighbor in the background. It's this one. This pixel also has a neighbor in the background in 4 connectivity, but not this one. This one will not have this as neighbor in the background. Okay. So if I'm using 4 connectivity, these darker pixels are my boundary for that object. If I use 8 connectivity, then I would have to include I would have to include this one and this one and this one and this one and also this one. Okay, so the boundary also changes depending on the definition of connectivity that I'm using. But it's unique and formally defined. The other pixels of the object that do not belong to the boundary, they are completely interior. Okay, that's what's defined the interior of the pixel. And then to surround one region completely by another, this happens when if you want to go from inside the object to the limit of the image, you have to traverse the outer region. If there is some path that allows me to arrive at the limit of the image without passing through region T, then region T does not completely surround region S. Okay, I think so far so good. Then we are going to concentrate first on the foreground and use some definition for connectivity and then try to carry out connectivity analysis with this information. So, as I said at the beginning, the first thing that I'm going to teach you is very simple algorithms to understand, although we don't use them because they're computationally very inefficient. They are called labeling algorithms, and the simplest one is a recursive algorithm, which basically does the following. It says start in the binary image like this, and then you can start at the first row and the leftmost pixel, And then look for the next one pixel in the image, which would be this one. Okay? And you assign a new label to that one. We're going to do, it's a recursive inner loop, and the outer loop sequentially traverses the whole image. So we find the first one, we assign a new label to it, which is green, the green label, right here. And then the following thing we do is recursively assign L, the same label, to all of its one pixel neighbors. Okay? So what do I do? Depending on if recursion is done clockwise or counterclockwise, well, I could start clockwise and say, then this one is going to have the same label, and then also this one, and then I have to recursively, to all of the pixels that I have assigned the green label, do exactly the same. So I would have, then this one would assign this one, and eventually this one, and this one, and this one, end of recursion. Okay, I go back, and it says, if no more pixels, no more one pixels end, but it's not true, so I go to step one, and the following one pixel that I find is this one, so I assign a new label blue, and then recursively assign the same label to all of its neighbors, and then find the third one, which would be this one. Okay? And then sequentially assign, recursively assign red, the red label to all of the neighbors of that pixel. Okay, as I said, this is, I think, reasonably simple to understand. So why wouldn't we like, why would we consider that this algorithm may be very inefficient?
Because you go through every pixel a lot of times.
Well, yes, that's one reason. One pixel is neighbor of more than one, then you're analyzing it several times, yes? And a basic problem with recursive functions?
That you can, sometimes doesn't end.
In this case it would end, because eventually I would find all the neighbors. So there's not a limitless amount of neighbors of one pixel.
It's memory use.
It's memory use? Okay. And that depends on how many times I recursively call the function. So in this case, what would be the deepest level of recursion that I would have? I'm sorry? Okay, how did you decide that? So in general? In this case, you decided 9 because?
Number of pixel of the biggest object.
Of the largest object. So potentially you could recur as many times as there are pixels in the largest object. Okay? That's the reason why we don't use this algorithm. But we like to explain it first because I think it's very simple to understand. So we want to do something like this, but not using this algorithm. Okay? This is not very complicated, but a slightly better algorithm. To do the same thing is a sequential version, and the sequential algorithm requires two passes on the image, but I only analyze two rows every time. So let me tell you about this one. This sequential algorithm basically does the following. It observes the fact that if you want to label a pixel like this one, you only need to analyze, and this is for connectivity, you only need to analyze two more pixels in the image. You can analyze the top one or the left one. Because if they are one pixels, then you should copy their labels because they belong to the same object. Okay? So I can sequentially traverse the whole image, analyzing only the top and the left pixel of each one. How do I know that, why are they labeled? Because I'm doing this sequential processing, so when I arrive at this point, this one is already labeled and this one is also labeled. Okay? So I only need to look for these two pixels in all cases. We have four different situations. There might be two neighbors which are one pixels. That means that all three belong to the same object. In this case, the two belong to the same one, In this case, the two belong to the same one, and there's a new object if I find a pixel that has no one neighbors. Okay? I find a new object at least at up to this point of where I'm analyzing the image. So different cases appear belonging to each one of these cases. Suppose I was processing the image, so I assigned a new label, which I'm putting as a different texture in the pixels, so that you can see it clearly also in the printed slides. I decided to use this horizontal label. This one will have the same one. This one will, after I realized that these two were connected to this one, all of these three would have the same label. Then this one would have the same label, and then this one also would have the same label. So that belongs to case A. In this situation, I simply know that the prior one has also this label, so I copy it. Also, if only the top one has that label, I copy it. And in this case, I have a new object up to this point, so I create a new label, which is this square texture. Okay? My only complication is what happens when I find this situation. So this is letter U. I started here with a new label. I started here with another new label, copied, and then I find here that there's two different labels. So which one should I use? Or what does this mean when I arrive at this point? It means that I've been using two different labels for what's actually the same object. Okay? So what this algorithm does is apart from using the labels, it maintains what we call an equivalence table that says these two, three, or n labels actually belong to the same object. So when I arrive at this point, what I will do simply is include in the equivalence table these two as belonging to the same object actually. Okay, so this is the algorithm for connectivity. As I said, I process the image from left to right, from top to bottom. And when I arrive at this pixel, then I can have one of the four cases that we said before. In this case, I would be in four case. In the fourth case, so I assign a new label, which is label 1. And then I continue, and in this for this pixel, I would be in this case. So I copy the label. All of them will have the same label of that row. Then I arrive to this one. It's case 4 again, new label, and then copy all of them. And then, when I arrive at this point, I realize 1 and 2 are actually the same object. Okay? So in the equivalence table, I say 1 and 2 are actually the same object. Then here I copy the top one, all of them are the same. This is a new object, where it will stay as a new object because of the connectivity I'm using. I've copied these ones, this is a different one, this is a different one. I start here thinking this is also different, but then realize that 6 and 5 are the same. Okay? I start a new one here, and then I realize that 7 and 1 are the same. That's why the table says 1, 2, and 7 up to this point are the same. Okay? When I, if I continue processing in this point, I would copy 6, and then I would realize 6 and 7 are the same. What does that mean? It means I know at this point that 1, 2, 5, 6, 7, and 8 are actually the same object. Okay? So I fuse the equivalence table whenever I realize that there's a common label between two sets of labels in the table. Okay? It's an important observation and the source of one optimization that we can make. To see that always all of the pixels belonging to one segment of consecutive pixels will have the same label, always. See, always 1, always 2, always 5, always 6, always 8. Okay, that always happens. Not necessarily with the top pixel because of these situations I can have this conflict, but it's always the case that the label is copied in the sequence 1 pixels in a segment. So that's one reason for optimization for the optimization that we can make in this sequential algorithm. So is it more or less clear? Okay. What if we use, let's see, is the next one that? Yeah, what if we use 8 connectivity? Then I have more cases because I have to analyze for this pixel all of its prior pixels already analyzed, and they're 4. So there could be 0, 1 pixels, or 4 cases of 1, or 6 cases of 2, 4 cases of 3 pixels that are 1 pixels, and only 1 case of 4. In this case, it's a new label. In this case, I copy the label. In this case, I might have to fuse labels because, for example, here, this will be a different label from this one, probably. So I will have to say that in the equivalence table. Do you think that I will find neighbors with 3 different labels? I know that in 4 connectivity I find labels with only up to 2 different labels. And in this case, will I find 3 different ones? Okay, you can think about that. One comment that you made before, which is important at this point, is that the choice of 4 connectivity or 8 connectivity is not trivial. You have to use the appropriate connectivity for the type of objects that you are analyzing. In this synthetic object, if I use 4 connectivity, then this is a lizard, of course, and I would like to see it as one object. But but 4 connectivity has the effect that I will lose part of the tail and also the legs. So if the type of objects that I'm analyzing are elongated, like in this case, I should definitely use 8 connectivity for the foreground, and then 4 connectivity for the background. Okay? So it's an important decision to make, and it really depends on the application that you're working with, that you're working on. Okay, I hope this is reasonably clear. Then what is the goal of the algorithm that we want to develop? As I said, the idea is conceptually simple. There are some complications that we have worked through. But this algorithm still is only a labeling algorithm, and I want to really be able to separate in different groups pixels that belong to different objects, and maybe at the same time I want to compute how many they are, what's the area, what's the perimeter, and more useful descriptors for characterizing the objects. So I will explain actually a different algorithm based on some of these ideas that can actually be used also for computing this additional information, which is useful for our processing. Any questions? Okay. Let's, before the break, let's briefly start with one related concept of this algorithm that we will use. It's what I asked you guys from Telecom the other day. There is, for binary image, there is a very efficient representation that, as far as I knew, was used for fax transmissions. But faxes are used not so much anymore, so I don't know if it still works like that. This codification is called run-select coding, and we use it to first compress the image as much as we can, and then the connectivity analysis is actually carried out on the run length. So the run length is based on this simple idea. The images that we want to process have some coherence in spatially. So it's not like the pixels are randomly black and white throughout the image, but they tend to form groups of letters, for example, which allow us to read, or of figures that give us some information. So you can actually make profit of that from that fact that there's consistency in the image, and you can compress it in, well, I know of two alternatives. One, first one is to, instead of saying for each pixel it's black or white, what you actually do is group them into segments. So you can codify the position of the first pixel and then the length of the sequence of pixels that have the same color. In this case, you would say the first one pixel starts at 0 and there's 3. Then the next one starts at at 6 and there's 2. The next one starts at 11 and there's 4. The next one at 16 and there's 2, which is exactly what you can read here. So I'm only codifying black pixels. What happens with the white pixels? They are all of the rest. Okay? That's one alternative. And the other one is to codify the length of all of the segments. But I take the convention that I will always start with the black ones. So this according to this convention, this would be starting with the black segment, 3, 3, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 1, 3. Okay, as it says here. And in this case, I would say initially 0, because the first segment of one pixels has 0 length, 0, 4, and then 13, 1, 4. Okay, so that's the reason for the 0 here. And I think it's more or less obvious that this compresses the information that I need to represent images like this one. How much is the compression ratio? Well, that depends on the image. There's a worst case and a best case, as it's a frequent situation. What is the best case? It's not very useful. The best case is when all of the segments in one row is either black or white. And in that case, instead of, if I have 60-40 columns in the images, then I would only need a couple of bytes to represent all of the segments, because I say the first segment starts at 0 and then has length all of the length of the image. Okay? if I compute what is the compression ratio, in this case it would be 40. I can save or I can compress it 40 times the original size. Okay, but this is not very useful, a not very useful case. Let's see the other case is the completely the other extreme. It's the case where I have this chess type of image, which is not also very very useful either, but it is the worst case. In this case, I only have segments of length 1 all the time. So instead of using one bit to represent each of the pixels, I need 2 bytes to represent each of the segments. So actually, the compression ratio says that I need more space to compress this image in round length than the original binary image, which is not a good solution either. Luckily, most of the images that we're interested in actually are in between one and the other. So in one of the examples that I manage, which is this image, the number of columns is 640, and the number of rows is 480. And in this image, I found 6,874 black segments. And I assume that I need 2 bytes for each one. So the compression ratio is almost 3. I can save or represent the information in this image in 1/3 of the space that I would need with a simple binary image. Okay? So that is one reason for compressing the image. And the other one, which I will tell you in the next hour, is that we can process the run-length coding and obtain the connectivity, the connected components from the run-length. So what we will do is compress the image and then process the run-length, which is a very, which can be done very efficiently. Okay? Let's make a rest then of 10 minutes.